Well, it's not too often, is it, that the storm lives up to the forecast? But that was quite a storm that came through. And I hope that as the earth was refreshed by the rain today, your spirit has been refreshed by being with God's people. We do thank you for being here tonight and appreciate your concern for the things of God. I'm going to be reading from Mark's Gospel, the third chapter, and I'd like for you to open your Bible there and read with me, starting at verse 13. It is a passage where Mark names the 12 apostles that Jesus chose. So I ask that you follow along as we read from Mark 3, verse 13, beginning. And he went up to the mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out the demons. And he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, to them he also gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Jesus knew when he started that his time and mission on the earth would be short. He would have about 3.5 years of preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom. And so part of that time was not just spent in preparing people for the coming of the kingdom, but for preparing his apostles to continue his work after he ascended back to his Father in heaven. And so it was very important when he chose these 12 men that he would choose, as Mark called them, those whom he himself wanted. Did you catch that? And the implication to me is he chose men that nobody else wanted. I mean, these would not have been at the top of the list for any position, much less an ambassador for Jesus Christ. But Jesus wanted them. And it wasn't like they were the only ones who applied. Remember, he had throngs and throngs of disciples, of people who were following after him and learning from him and listening to him. So many people that on one occasion they were all stepping on one another. And Jesus hand chose 12. And he chose the ones he wanted, even though they were ordinary men. There's a contemporary book about the 12 apostles, and it's simply called 12 Ordinary Men. And they were, but Jesus wanted them. And I want you to know tonight that Jesus wants you to. Isn't it good to be chosen? To think somebody wants me? I mean, think about it. There are kids who never go and play on the playground for one reason. They don't want to be picked last. Because when you're last, you're just left over. There is no other choice. We're going to divide into teams. I want to be picked first. I want to be chosen. Jesus wants you. And I want you to know tonight that there is room in the kingdom for you. Sometimes we think about the apostles only as a group. And the scriptures do speak of them that way in our very text. It just calls them later on the 12. Sometimes it calls them the apostles, sometimes the 12 disciples. But they're often spoken of in a group. And that can cause us to forget that they were 12 individuals. Jesus didn't pick 12 men who were exactly the same. He chose 12 individuals. Because he wanted each one, and he called them one by one. And that's what he wants to do for you in his kingdom. Sometimes we think about the kingdom in the sense of, what can I contribute? What can I bring that would be important? I don't have the ability that some have. I don't have the talents. And so how can I make a difference in a group like this? Jesus wants you because he has made room in his kingdom for you. Just like he wanted these 12. I want you to see, first of all, tonight that there is room in the kingdom for common people. Jesus makes room in his kingdom for common people. And that's who they were. Isn't it interesting when there is the period between the election and the inauguration of a new president? That's a period of great speculation as to who is he going to choose for his new cabinet. Who will he designate to be the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense and the Attorney General? And everybody gives their opinion. Well, it'll probably be this governor or this senator or this congresswoman. When Jesus chose his 12 ambassadors, I want you to realize that he had Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and lawyers at his disposal. He had Herodians and noblemen and rich people and those who were prominent. But he didn't choose any of them. He chose fishermen. Ones whom he said, I'm going to make you become fishers of men. He chose a tax gatherer and one who was of the political party of the Zealots, who were like an group of assassins seeking to overthrow the government. He chose common people. And look at what he was enabled them to do. Keep your place here, but look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. And notice what is said after the resurrection at the preaching of Peter and John. Acts chapter 4. At verse 13. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling. They had the same reaction to them that people had for Jesus when he started preaching. This is the son of the carpenter? This is Jesus of Nazareth? Where did he get this teaching? How does he know this? And what authority does he have? They thought the same thing about Jesus' apostles. These aren't those who have been to rabbi school. They're not trained or educated. They're fishermen. And so they marveled. But look at what the difference was at the end of the verse. And began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And that made all the difference. It wasn't because of who they were. It was because of who Jesus made them to be. He took common people, ordinary men, and he made them extraordinary. You ever wondered why God chose Abraham? And said to him and his barren wife, I'm going to make you a great nation, and your descendants will be like the stars of heaven. There were other nations already in existence. He could have just chosen them and said, you're my people. He could have chosen some newlyweds who had their whole future in front of them and said, I'm going to make you multiply. It was to show that it was not their power or ability that was going to make this happen, but his. They were common. And there is room in the people, in the kingdom, for common people. Don't think of it as some exclusive club that I'll never be good enough to join. If you've been with Jesus, he can make you what you ought to be. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul makes this very point. At verse 26, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. If we are trying to make a name for ourselves by ourselves, we are sure to fail. But by his doing, the common, ordinary people, he empowers to do great things for his name. How many are wise? How many, does he say, are noble? How many are mighty? He says, there are not many. And can you think of many? Me and three other people. That's all I can think of. Not many. Why? Because they don't need God. They think they've already got it. But the ones Jesus wants, the one he makes room for in his kingdom, are the common, ordinary people who come to him to be made whole. There's room in the kingdom for you. Just like Bartholomew and Thaddeus and James the son of Alphaeus. There's room in the kingdom for the common people. Number two, there's room in the kingdom for new beginnings. Jesus makes room in his kingdom for new beginnings, for the ones who think, there's no way I can overcome my past. I've sinned so much that God could never forgive me and use me. Look no further than the 12 apostles. Did you notice in the list that Mark gave, he identified a nickname that Jesus gave to two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. He mentions their nickname in verse 17. Boanerges, which thankfully he translates for us, that means sons of thunder. Sons of thunder. Kind of sounds like a wrestling team, doesn't it? Sons of thunder. Now, he doesn't identify why Jesus called them that. We can speculate. They were the ones, for instance, who asked, "Do you want us to rain down fire from heaven on this village for not allowing us to pass through?" Boy, that was connected to Jesus' mission, wasn't it? Come to seek and save the lost, and you want to burn them to a crisp. They were the ones who asked, "Can we have positions of authority, sit on your right and on your left?" They were involved with the rest of them about which one of us is greatest. Jesus was still able to use them. Why? Because he transformed them into those who would preach the gospel of peace, who would come to realize we're not in this for us. We're in this for him. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus tells of another, or Luke tells of another of the apostles who's called here by his Jewish name, Levi. It's the same as Matthew. And in verse 27, he says, "After this, Jesus went out and noticed a tax gatherer named Levi sitting in the tax office. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he left everything behind and rose and began to follow him." Now that's easy to read over, isn't it? He left everything behind. For the fishermen, when Jesus called them to come and follow me, and they left their boat and their nets and followed him, if this apostle thing didn't work out, well, we'll just go back to fishing. There'll always be fish. And so, if I may say it this way, they had a little safety net. Not so with Levi. His profession was a tax gatherer. It was a despised occupation. Not only was a Jewish person working for the oppressive government of Rome, but most of them were cheaters. And they took more than they were allowed to take. And because of that, they were wealthy. And so when it says that Levi was sitting in his tax office and Jesus said, "Come follow me," and he left everything behind, I want you to appreciate he couldn't go back there. Because if you think being a tax gatherer had a bad reputation, who's going to hire a former tax gatherer? But he was ready for a new beginning. This is who I was, but it is not who I will be. And Jesus made room for a tax gatherer. There is room in the kingdom for new beginnings. We may have such a sordid past that other people know us by some other name and some other lifestyle. But Jesus has room for forgiveness. Jesus can take that which is spotted and red as crimson and make it as white as snow. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at what the Apostle Paul said about the purpose of their work in the service of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Now remember, he's speaking about a group of people who once argued about who's the greatest. And now he said, we're not preaching ourselves, we're preaching Christ Jesus. We don't want you to think about us and what we do. We want you to think about him. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Once we were all in darkness. Once we were all without hope. Once we were all unworthy. But God shone the light. And he gives new beginnings. And he makes room for us to serve him in his kingdom. The 12 apostles could not have imagined a day when they gave their life for the Lord, that someday somebody would build St. John's Hospital or St. Peter's Basilica or have St. Andrew's golf course. That wasn't what they wanted. They wanted people to know Jesus' name and what he did for them. And what he can do for all. There's room in the kingdom for new beginnings. That may be who I was, the son of thunder. But thanks be to the Son of God, that's not who I am. There's room in God's kingdom for you. And number three, there is room in God's kingdom for second chances. Second chances for times when we didn't get it right. I mean, there's a reason that it's called on YouTube, Epic Fails. Not just failure, epic fails. Well, I want you to know tonight that with regard to my sin, I am an epic failure. And Jesus said, I have room to give you another chance. Get it right. The very first name that Mark lists in Mark chapter 3 is another name where Jesus assigned a nickname. Simon was his given name, but Jesus called him Peter, which means rock. And that's who Jesus wanted Simon to become, a rock in his kingdom. And what we see in the Gospels is some of both. We see Simon in failure And we see Peter sometimes in success. And quite often the case, it's a verse or two apart. Just like us. And the first time Simon failed, Jesus did not say to him, "Well, you're out. I got other choices over there. I'll take one of them. I can't have anybody in my apostles who fails." He made room for second chances. Look at Luke chapter 22. At something Jesus said to Simon on the very night of his betrayal. Luke chapter 22 in verse 31. It was at this time that Jesus identified that one of his disciples would betray him. Now, he had told them before that he would be betrayed, but this was the first time he said it's going to be somebody in this room. Simon, verse 31. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Where Peter was so overconfident as if to say, "I would never do that, Lord. I would never betray you. I'm ready to die this very night for you." Jesus said, "The devil's after you." But did you notice his prophetic words? "You, once you have returned." Thank God he gives second chances. "Once you have returned, strengthen your brothers." And Peter did. He wept bitterly, but he returned. He committed an epic failure, but he returned. And Jesus had room for him to such an extent that he preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 were baptized that day, to the extent that Peter became an elder in the Lord's church, and who knows how many people were saved by his preaching of the gospel, to the extent that Peter wrote 2 epistles in our New Testament, and who knows how many have read those and been encouraged to fight the devil. "You, once you have returned, strengthen your brothers." There is room in the kingdom for second chances. Even in epic fails. There is room in the kingdom for you. Why did Judas commit suicide? He sinned in the likeness of Peter. He sinned on the very same night. He felt remorse for what he did. He realized what had happened. But where Peter went out and wept bitterly, Judas went and hanged himself. Why? Because he thought there was no more room for him in the kingdom. That Jesus could not use a traitor. That he could not forgive what he had done to his master. Oh, if Judas had just waited 3 days. There's room in the kingdom for you. Jesus did call them one by one and called them to great service and to great sacrifice. And when we read at the end of the book of Revelation, when it describes the city, it is their names that are on the foundation stones with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. I don't mean to tell you tonight that if you come to Jesus and enter His kingdom, that your name will be equal to that of Peter, Andrew, James, John. But it will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It will be read before the throne of God when He calls us one by one and says, "Enter in to the kingdom I've prepared for you from the foundation of the world." There will be room in the kingdom for you. And there's still room for more. Cleaned out my gutters in anticipation of the storm today. I always know when they're clogged up because I hear the raindrops falling on the front porch. The downspout's clogged, and so it spills out over the gutter. And so I spent a couple hours cleaning those out, dragging the ladder around the house and reaching over in precarious positions and cutting up my arms and hands, getting all the pollen and leaves and twigs out. And I tell you what was most frustrating about that is after you clean the gutters out, you can't go back and say, "Boy, that looks better." Because you can't see anything. It looks the same. Until the storm comes. And then you see. And you enjoy your labor. Though it was hard and difficult, pays off. We can't always see the growth we're making in the kingdom. It's not always evident day by day until the storm comes. Let's make certain we're ready, standing firm, following Jesus when He calls us. This song we'll sing would encourage you to be on the Lord's side and to be named among His disciples. By confessing your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and repenting of your sins, you can be baptized into a new beginning. If you need another chance, and we can encourage you and help you in your journey, make the decision right now to be His disciple while we stand and while we sing.